Going, gone, we're live. And this is Vance Stevens and Al Ain, United Arab Emirates. It's the 6th of September, and this is Learning Together. Learning Together is something we do every week. We are joined by Jeff Lebeau in spirit. He had, unfortunately, to do some work, and so he couldn't really join us, but he's a big inspiration for what we do. He's the one who sort of showed us all the way. So we miss him, but we're always thinking about him. And we have Benjamin Stewart, who's here with Piri Herrera, and they're going to talk to us about Office 360, which is something that they have been talking a lot about on EFL Live, which is Jeff's program, and also in Benjamin's community practice, teachers for interactive language learning. And we have some other people here as well. So if anybody wants to introduce themselves in a minute, you can, but I'm going to turn it over to Benjamin for right now to say hi.
Hello, yes, this is my name is Benjamin Stewart, and calling in from beautiful Aguascalientes, Mexico. It's a public university here in Mexico where I teach. So I don't know if anyone else would like to introduce themselves.
Hey, Piri, you can unmute and say hi.
Hi. Hi, everybody. I'm also here in Aguascalientes. And yes, it's a public university with some little ink of private institution with a lot of projects and a lot of ongoing changes. And that's where we've been working for 15 years.
Okay, and we've got Elizabeth Ann with us, who claims to have no voice. But you might as well say hi for the recording. You have to unmute, though. No, you have a voice. There you go.
hi, yes, in this France. I'm looking forward to listening to you.
Okay, we have one more guest. Do you have a microphone there? I'm afraid I can't interpret the Russian. It's the letter in the middle that's throwing me. And I only get a partial, but it starts with Istio Chen. I'm not sure. Can you hear us? Anyway, it looks like a lady has joined us, and maybe if your microphone is working, you're welcome to say hello and introduce yourself. Okay, so anyway, we sort of set up this event to be, well, this is our regular Learning Together time. We try to meet on Sundays at about this time. Evening for me, morning for over there in the Western Hemisphere. But anyway, Jeff usually joins. Well, he is EFLLive.com broadcast is often operates on Wednesdays, but we decided to join forces tonight. And this is kind of going from a conversation that we had last Wednesday. We were talking a lot about Office 360. In fact, actually, we were talking about writing in general and how we teach writing. But Benjamin has a couple of times told us a bit about Office 360, which is sounds like an interesting program. It's not free, but it's a Microsoft product, I believe. And they're in Aguascalientes, and Benjamin uses it in writing instruction, and Piri uses it slightly differently. So maybe you guys could tell us, they're ready to tell us and show us what they do with Office 360.
Okay, great. Thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot, Vance. I should say here at the beginning, it's kind of fun here to have Petey join us today. Petey's a colleague of mine. In fact, our offices are right next to each other. We see each other every day, and we talk a lot about technology. But it's kind of cool to actually have him here in this type of online environment, which is I think a first. So I'm going to go ahead and start sharing my screen and. I've got a few things that I wanted to discuss, but feel free to jump in if anyone has any questions or Vance, if you happen to see anything in the chat, throw out questions as you wish. I'm sharing my screen now, so if anyone could just confirm quickly that you can, in fact, see my screen.
Yeah, I've clicked it in. So when I'm talking, if my screen comes on and you want to see Benjamin's in the Hangout, you have to click on Benjamin's icon in order to see the screen. But for the recording, as we were talking about earlier, I've placed it there so everybody can see it in the stream.
Great. So like we mentioned, Pity and I both work at the Universidad Autónoma de Aguascalientes. It's a university here. We teach in a BA program in English language teaching. It's a four or five-year degree, depending on the level of the student when they enter into the university. And I currently am teaching a lot of writing courses. PD teaches a lot of practicum courses. So we wanted to kind of share our experiences and thought processes this semester using 365. This is the first semester for both of us, and so we're still kind of learning as we go along. But I wanted to take this opportunity to share some of the things that we've encountered so far this semester. We're currently into 4 weeks. We've been using it the past 4 weeks in our courses, and so what I'd like to discuss here first, though, before we go into actually some of the experiences we've had with Office 365, is some of the things that both Petey and I were talking a lot about, and I think some of the things that we think about even before we decide on what technologies to use, and I think most of us can really relate to this. Before we look at any type of blended learning class, which essentially is what we are facing, we have face-to-face courses. And so what we're basically doing is blending our class so that we have both face-to-face contact with our students and also opportunities to interact with them outside of class. So some of the things that we just automatically think about before we even decide which technologies to use are our educational philosophy, which might involve certain theories that we subscribe to, certainly our ideological tendencies that we have. So these are very personal as far as how we look at the instruction and the assessment, how we go about the teaching in our course, the methodology that we follow. It's very much individualistic as far as how we approach that. But these are things that are inherent and something that we are looking at and considering, you know, before we even discuss technologies. And obviously, since we do work at an institution, we also must adhere, obviously, to the mission and the vision statements of the institution. We have an educational model that we must adhere to. So it's kind of a collective or a collection of these concepts and considerations that we must take into account when we look at our own educational philosophy in terms of what courses we're teaching and the technologies we use. Another decision we must really take is how we want to communicate and or how do we want our students to communicate throughout the course. And I think we can divide this in very two general categories, one being synchronous and asynchronous learning. So synchronous learning would be live interaction, and asynchronous would be interacting over time, such as a forum and so on. So we need to be thinking and making decisions about how this communication will unfold throughout the semester. And again, trying to think about the best technologies to use to respect those types of communication. Of course, this is going to be very much dependent on the type of course, the type of teacher, the institution, and so on, and obviously the resources that are available. And finally, the delivery. Another decision we must make is how much of the delivery of content is going to be made online versus offline. So these are just some general concepts that I think that we intuitively make, whether or not we articulate that with others or not is another issue. But these are some things that we look at and consider before we decide on the technologies. I think sometimes the conception might be, or the perception might be, that we start with the technologies first and and try to, and all these other things come later. But I think it's really the opposite. I think for me anyway, I think, you know, these are the starting points for me, is to consider, you know, before considering which technology to use. So what I'd like to do, if Bidi would like to go ahead and first present his ideas and his experiences with using Office 365, and then I'll share mine. So I'm going to go ahead and stop my screen share and hand it over to Bidi.
Hello, everybody. Yes, as Ben was saying, I don't know if you can listen to me because I'm having some screen problems in here.
You sound
fine.
Can you listen
to me?
We hear you fine.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Well, I'd like to explain a little bit what's the environment I've been working in at the university, because I'm working in teaching practicum mostly. So, and I studied there at the same VA a long time ago, when they really, even the teachers of the VA, did not have a special degree like a VA or a master's degree. They all had just certifications because they were in language teachers before. So that's the way the VA started. Then I was third generation, and I was a member of the first major change in the program. Which was in between periods, long periods of revision, which is after one generation finishes, we make a revision. And then I was part of the first and the second big major official revision of the BA curriculum. So I pretty much understand how it worked before with me, how it worked through the change, and how it's intended to work now. Some of the teachers that started the BA are still working with us. So yes, at the very beginning, one of the characteristics all of the times in our BA is the practical strand. Teaching practicum, it's a very important part of our BA. Students start practicing since the very first semester. They start with classroom observation. They go through what was called before micro-teaching, teaching workshop now, and then it moved on towards team teaching, and then pair teaching, and then individual teaching. Nowadays, we include something that is teaching assistantship in between, before going to team teaching, so they have a little bit more of experience. And that's the area in which I've been working. Pretty much the idea is that students do something, like observing, or pair teaching, or assisting a teacher, or teaching actually in a group. And we as tutors, we just have a follow-up of their work, and we assist them in whatever they need according to theory background or techniques or anything they may need in order to have a better development in their teaching. Most of the times, we give a lot of suggestions. They choose what to do, and they try it out in the classroom. So pretty much that's the situation in which they've been teaching now. Is the seventh semester, is teaching practicum one. They are supposed to be integrating everything by now. They're still developing new learnings and new ideas to implement in the classroom. But they are towards the end of the career. They're in their last year. So the history, it's pretty much about how to exchange the information of their work. And we always started by paperwork, the students writing lesson plans. The main aspects of this is the lesson planning, is the reflection on the lesson plan, and the material they develop. So everything is gathered in papers, and it was put into a big, thick binder, and kind of an evidence portfolio for the end of the semester. They would deliver, and there was a re-evaluation of all of this, and they would get a grade. Now, with this change in technologies, we started to try to implement some ideas on how to handle the situation. The first thing I tried is to change from paper to electronic deliveries. And I think most of us did it at the same time. The first problem we face with this is that the fluency of delivery speeds up. So everybody is delivering everything, and we get it immediately into our emails. That was the way we did it. And there was a lot of information in there which would be stuck in there and not seen until students would come up to a face-to-face session. And at the end, technology was used only for delivery and for storage, which still is the core of this, in matters of technology. Because in matters of the subject, the focus is them teaching and are having supervision on their performance, right? But one of the aspects I care a lot is the preparation. I always tell my students, I need to make sure that you don't have problems in planning. And by that, I don't mean that they have to plan perfectly, but that they do have a time to reflect and plan, and they rationalize whatever they do in their classroom. So the first change was going into emails and sending information, and then I would store everything into my files in my hard drive. During the semester, I would organize all of the information by dates or by number of weeks, which I still do, and I would add information when I observe or pictures of performance in order to use it with them when they come to the face-to-face session. Now with this change to Office 365, I was looking for a migration between storing the information in my hard drive and getting into the cloud and having all the information there, because the university also moved to having screens and access to internet and the internal network and in the classroom. Each classroom now has a screen and everything can be handled there. So somehow it was a good chance to stop using the flash drives and bring in the laptop and the projector to the classroom, because we had the screen and we had the access to the network. So I was planning on migrating to Google Drive. But then we just realized in these talks with Benjamin about technology, we realized we had a license from Microsoft in our university, and that part of that license was Office 365. And that's how, when I'm just planning to migrate my classes and my information to Google Apps, I decided to do it to Office 365, and one of the heads up for that was talking to Benjamin and knowing that he was also going to use it, because in that way it would be both of us working with the same group and somehow not taking one person the whole responsibility of walking students through Office 365. So I do some things, Benjamin do other things. So far I don't think we have consciously and structurally share or discuss who does what. But at the end, I think what we've been doing is complementing each other's ideas. So students in a pretty fast fashion understood the dynamic of Office 365. So this is the way I decided to get into Office 365. And right now, we are just learning along with the students, and I think we are just learning along with the university itself, because whoever is controlling this is also learning about the general outfit of Outlook 365. Example, I just realized they opened a couple of more apps which were not available for us, and that's part of the administration. I don't know if this gives an idea of what is happening, because now what I'd like to do is to show you exactly what is happening right now. I don't know if anybody has any question or anything about it.
Yes, I'm moved for my question. could I ask you, please, what situation your students are actually doing their teaching practice in? Are they in different places? Are they in your institution? What ages are they teaching?
To begin with, when they start the observation, they go outside the university or inside, whatever they decide, to observe teachers. Then they do a teaching workshop, which is some tutors are giving them some information about techniques for teaching, and there are two courses about this, and teaching linguistic systems, and they teach for a couple of minutes among themselves. Then in the following course, they go and do tutor assistantship in whatever they can find. And then they go to team teaching, in which we get them a group from the university, and they actually teach for a real group at the university. And then we come to teaching practicum one and two. And this is the situation right now. By this time in teaching practicum one, they, as part of the major, they have decided on a specific strand for professionalization. This means like an extra, like a plus to their basic formation, which right now is teaching in basic education in Mexico and teaching in ESP. So for teaching practicum, they look for a place in their expertise, whatever they decided, basic education or ESP, and they teach there. In the case of basic education, they look for primary school, which what we call here in Mexico primary school and secondary school. And for ESP, they actually have a pre-course in which they have a needs analysis of an actual business, real business, big or small enterprises, in which they have a needs analysis, they develop a program, and this semester they teach there to actual workers. ESP is focused a little bit more, in this case, into English for occupational purposes. And that's what they are teaching. It's a real setting in their expertise. And in the case of basic education, it can be public or it can be private institutions, because both of them have to cover at least the national language program of English. I don't know if
I'd like
if
to. Oh,
yes.
Oh, I just want to mention that there is a live stream here. We have at least we have three viewers in the live stream. Two of them are in Chatwing. That's chatwing.com/VANCESTEV, and those are Maria Colusa from Argentina and Peggy George, who's from Phoenix, Arizona, I believe. Peggy has a question, which she's put in the chat. She's asking if by using Office 365, does that make it possible for students to see each other's work, so it's not just going to the teacher?
In my case, there are things which are shared for the whole group, and there are things which are right now shared just between the student and I. But it is possible to make it open to everybody, and sooner or later that's going to happen. The thing is that right now they're just beginning on the first or second week of actual teaching. So there will be a moment in which if I see something that it's common, I will ask the student for permission to share with everybody, and if they agree, it will be available for everybody. And I'm still thinking how I'm going to do that, because I'll cross the bridge when I get there. But yes, there is a possibility for them to share among themselves, for them to share privately with the tutor, or privately among themselves, or within the whole group itself.
Okay.
All right. My idea was to move towards presenting exactly what I'm doing and show you, sure. Share my screen on what is happening, but I don't know if before that you have any questions so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Peggy thanks me for asking her question for her. And it's early there in Phoenix, so I suppose she's being very quiet for her household. And it's really nice of her to join us. Okay, go ahead. We're waiting for your screen.
All right. So I'm going to share my screen, and maybe it'll take a couple of minutes. And the first thing you're going to see there is the homepage for Office 365.
Yep. Very clear.
All right. So this is pretty much the layout of all the apps. Can you see my pointer moving around?
Yes, can. Mm-hmm.
Okay, these two features, way and tasks, the ones that are towards the right, those are the new features that they just added a couple of days ago for us to have access. So Sway is a kind of presentation device, and tasks, I suppose, is kind of Google Tasks also, like for the calendar. And, well, the rest of the apps, which include the Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. And I'll walk you a little bit through what I'm using specifically for this course. So the first thing we did in the semester is to open a group to share documents, which I call it here Professional Practicum 1, and it's OneDrive. So what you look first is my documents, but I'm switching towards the group itself. So you can see a couple of files we share. The first week of classes, we spend, it's a class which is scheduled 3 hours a day. So they have the time to go and teach, and I have the time to see them individually for half an hour a day. So the first thing I did during the first week is to set some ground about what they knew before, about what they've been doing so far, and how that was going to be implemented into this teaching practicum. We work on lesson planning. We work on rubrics, which are right there. We work on the syllabus and the evaluation, and very specific things on reflection, lesson planning, and material design. This was done face-to-face in the classroom, and we use all of this information, and they have it available there. That's the first thing. The second thing we did, we use a calendar. The calendar, we use it in order to schedule the individual appointments for students. If you see to the right, I just click on a day, and I schedule for the whole semester. They face me half an hour. In the case there are two of them, like on the right says Fernando, Jorge and Fernando's appointment, they come for an hour because it's two of them. During that session, I check their lesson plan, their reflection, and their material, but focusing on whatever comes at the moment as an immediate need for them. So in the calendar, we just organize the appointments, and it's organized for the whole semester, because one of the advantages of that is that I use my mobile phone to match these calendars to my mobile calendar. So any announcement or anything is not only popping in Office 365 or my email account. It's also coming to give me a ring in my mobile device. So that helped me a lot to know when there's time for somebody else to come. Because sometimes we can take more than half an hour, and we just have to narrow it, because we could spend even 2 or 3 hours with one single issue. So this helps a lot. Next thing I'm going to do with the calendar is I already scheduled the observations for the semester. I'm going to upload it there so they know when I'm coming to observe, and they know the kind of things with the face-to-face sessions. They know what I will focus on when being in the observation. So I will use the calendar to establish the dates. That will be next week, and they're going to get the notification that I'm starting and what they which day I'm arriving with them. So pretty much that's all I'm doing with the calendar. I ask them to organize in the calendar all the information about their course. So what they did is, it's kind of slow now, but in this, I don't know if you can see the pop-up window about Montserrat Rosales. Can you see it?
I don't know if I can.
I just click on the name on the right, and there's a small window popping.
Oh, yeah.
It is supposed.
I see it now.
All right. Right now, I see it's also, it's kind of shrink. It normally shows me here the information they uploaded about the school. So in there, I can see the name of the school, the address where I'm going to observe, and the schedule they have during the week. I'm going to try another one so to see if I can see it now. Because I just realized if there's a delay, because this platform is in the internal network of the university, so they are still working on it too, and there are some things which are not really allowed. And this is the time I'm working outside the university in this. So, well, let's suppose that in that window appears the information. If you make an addition of the time or whatever, that's on a space for notes, and in the notes, that's where I ask them. In fact, I didn't schedule. I asked them to schedule. Oh, there it is. Maybe it's going to take a couple of seconds for you to see it. I asked them to schedule the time. So they were the ones that scheduled this, and they were the ones who uploaded all the information about the course. Please let me know as soon as you can see the information. It says the appointment ESP Turismo del Estado de Aguascalientes.
Yes.
Yes. I see. All right. That's the place where she's working. They are working with the state coordination for state tourism. She's in the strand of ESP, and she has a multi-level classroom, and she's going there from 2 to 3 in the afternoon, Tuesdays and Fridays. So this is pretty much what I have in the calendar. I'm going to move on to the email. I don't know if you want to ask any question about the calendar right now.
I might just point out to you that, could you mute yourself while I'm talking, Piri, because the echo is coming back through the,
right.
Yeah, that's good, okay. Maha Abdel Monaim has just joined us from Egypt. She's on, she's with family now because it's holiday from her school, so she made a special effort to come here. And Peggy is making several comments in the chat wing. There's a link, I put it in the Hangout chat. If you click on that link, you'll go to the chat wing. You have to log in with Facebook or Twitter or something like that. But you might want to follow the chat there just to, so you can see what the conversation is happening. The reason we're in chat wing is because people who are in the stream can communicate with us there. So people don't have to join the Hangout. But there is room in the Hangout for those in the chat wing. If you want to join us, you're welcome. There are only 4 participants here at the moment. Okay. Back to you, Piri.
Okay, I tried to open the chat window, but my computer is kind of full. Oh, I got it there. All right, I'm going to go on then with what I'm doing. I'm going to move on from the calendar to the mail. One of the advantages is that everything that we do is shown in the mail from Outlook, and every change you can select specifically the group, so you can see all the notices just for the group. I'm just clicking there. It's going to take a couple of seconds to open. Then you're going to see at the top name. I get the group professional practicum with a small image. And it's even taking long with me. But what I have there is all changes and all emails and all things are happening in the group. I think it's going to take long because
while we're waiting, Peggy wants to know if the students get. We lost Piri. Okay. Anyhow, well, that's okay. Benjamin is here to fill in the space. But she was just asking if maybe Benjamin knows. She's asking if Benjamin, Office 365 notifies students when they have appointments. Is it Piri mentioned that it notifies him?
Yeah, there are ways to do that. In fact, one of the things that we talk about in our class is talking with students to see which kind of device that they're using, and depending on the device that they're using, try to find the appropriate app that would allow them to receive notifications, for example, when messages are being posted to groups, and if there are changes made to OneNote, which I'll explain a little bit later, how I share OneNote with my students. So yes, there are ways to allow the students and the teacher, obviously, to receive notifications when activities are being conducted within these online spaces within Office 365. But it's very much, in our case, we're basically students bring their own device. I would say most of our students are using cell phones for their device, but some bring tablets, some bring laptops. But essentially every student has some device that they're using to connect. And depending on the course and depending on how they prefer to interact, we'll choose the appropriate device for that. But there are ways to receive notification, and I think that's one of the main draws for using Office 365 is that there are many different ways that students and teachers can receive notifications, and there's also ways to turn those off when, you know, if one feels that they don't want to receive those notifications and would rather just periodically visit the website and see what's going on. So there's versatility, there's flexibility there in that regard, but I think based on our experience so far, our limited experience with using Office 365, it does help to kind of guide the students through that process to so that they are, you know, comfortable with how they interact with Office 365 and how they receive notifications. It looks like Petey's back. I'll mute my mic and hand it over to him.
Oh, I'm back. Sorry, I just tried to open the Wing Chat and I had a problem there. I'm going to go back to sharing my window. There you go. Okay, can you tell me when you can see my Outlook inbox, please?
I see it here. Looks good.
Yeah, all right. Too.
Okay, thank you. As I was telling, I'm using, the good thing about this is that everything gets into the email too, so you have a history of whatever is going on around. And the other thing is that if you open a conversation, a group conversation, it's kind of an email view. So it's like the way the emails are working right now. When you reply, there's a line on the replies. So it's pretty much the same. It's not that live chat, live conversation. It's pretty much the emailing going back and forth. I'm going to move on because it's taking a little bit long to open the email. And I'm going to show you the way we're using OneNote as part of this group. Before getting into OneNote, every storage is getting into OneDrive, as I said before. But I also have the individual files of the students, which are shared just individually with them. And as I said, sooner or later, we are going to have some of their information shared with everybody else. I'm getting very quickly into the file where I have all of the files of the students, and it's kind of an Explorer layout. Well, it is an Explorer layout in OneDrive, pretty much what Google Docs does. And I have I open the folders and I share with the students because whomever opens the folder owns it. So whatever is stored, it's stored in that person's storage place. So if you can see here, I have all of the students. This semester I have 23 students, which is a lot for teaching practicum because we usually have from 13 to 15 the most. Having 16 or 70 was a real problem. Now that I have 23, I think that's a heads up for 365. I have 23 students, and I have no problems as I expected, because whenever I had 16 or 17 students, it was kind of complex. But I think the help of 365 in the organization and the scheduling is it's more or less balancing the idea of having more students than usual. So in this file, what they do is they upload their Word documents or PowerPoints for lesson planning, for material, and for reflections. Lesson planning and materials are in Word, and lesson planning and reflections are written in Word, and material is in PowerPoint or pictures of whatever they design. So they don't have to be carrying around a big bunch of wall charts or a lot of flashcards that may get damaged along the way just because they are the whole day in the university. So they take pictures and they send everything to their file. And in their individual file, what I have there is a OneNote file that I prepared, and it's pretty much the same for all the students. Can you please give me a heads up when you see the OneNote, please?
Looks good, Petey.
All right. I organized this very simple. I have 13 weeks for the semester in which they have to be teaching. Actually, it's 16 weeks during the whole semester, but for teaching, it's only 13. So whatever happens before, I call it week zero. In this case, this girl didn't have a week zero because there was nothing to discuss. The first day she came up to the tutoring session, she was already working. And every week, I divide it in four sessions, which this is what we have started to work with. Questioning for tutoring, this is the layout of OneNote. It has a section, and each section can be divided into pages. So I use weeks as section, and I use the pages as questions for tutoring session. This is whatever they come up with during the week. There's nothing in there right now. Pending adjustment is during the session, I make some comments, which I expect them to consider for next planning. And in this case, there were just two main aspects, because I'm taking it like step by step, and I don't focus on everything at the same time. I see urgent needs, and that's immediately what we do. Since this was the first week and she didn't have a reflection, we focus on the lesson plan and the creation of objectives. It looks that it's working pretty well for her, so we went immediately to where the stages and procedures of the lesson plan. And there we find something, which is she had a lack of contextualization. So that's what she's working on. And the third section is the synthesis of the session. In fact, this is what students call themselves when we were working on the layout of the class. They call it a meta-reflection, reflecting on the reflection that we discussed during the session. Sorry, but not precisely we focus on reflection always. We focus, in this case, on the lesson plan. So she tried to do kind of a reflection on it, kind of synthesis. I call it synthesis because the most important thing for me at this moment is them to register whatever we are discussing face-to-face. Now, this is when using Office 365 throws some more ideas by itself into my mind. This is the first time I openly tell them and I encourage them to record the tutoring session in video or in audio. Some of them are doing it, and I encourage them to record so they can go back to the recording and write the synthesis. So everything is registered. And I'm also asking them to upload the recording to the files in OneDrive, which nobody has done so far, but I will keep on trying to make them upload this. So this is a plus, because I've never asked them for a synthesis of the session. Before, they just kept notes, and they just have it for themselves, and there was no recording of the session, and whatever they catch, they kept, and I didn't really know what was going on in their notes. Even though they were right next to me, I was not able to see it all. Now, with this synthesis idea and the recording, we can go back whenever we want. So before, I relied on my ability to remember what we were working with the student just by looking at the lesson plan, the material, or the reflection. Right now, I can go back to the synthesis, or I can go back to the recording once they started to upload, and I can see the progress. So by week two, I have adjustments. There are other adjustments in there, and I will have another synthesis, which I suppose she did, or there it is. And I can go back and get all this information for the third week, which is going to be this week that it starts today. And I can see if she has any question or anything to deal with before the session, just in case I have to go back to theory or any other aspect that I have to explore, which before was like, they tell me if I didn't know or I didn't remember, I would appoint another, I would wait for the next week, for the following week, sorry, and I would bring some information or send some information. Right now, I can see it before the session, but I see she doesn't have anything to discuss this time. And that's for the OneNote. I don't know if anybody has any question about the use.
Peggy does. She says she's not clear about what the students are recording. Is it their reflection or synthesis of the lesson, or is it the actual lesson being delivered in the classroom with students? I'm guessing it's the former, but go ahead.
We don't have group sessions anymore. We just had it the first week. What we have now is I see students individually, half an hour, each of them during the week. And in that session, we go through their OneNote file of the week, lesson plan, reflection, and material. And whatever they are bringing for supervision before the actual teaching, I just see whatever they have, and I focus on what I consider important issues or whatever they ask me to focus on. That's a session in which we go back and forth with ideas, with changes. I don't ask them directly to do a change as such. I give them suggestions, I see how they react to the suggestions, and then they make the decision, so I write the pending adjustments. Unless there's something, the first week there are things that I want them to always do. So the first week mostly it's something I tell them to do. In the case of format or information that should be there so I can understand what they plan. And this is the session they are recording. In order to avoid wasting time or taking long in having the notes, so they record, they can go back to recording, and they can have a synthesis of the session later on. I don't know if that answers the question.
I have a comment. You have to mute again, Piri.
Yes?
Yeah, because you have to mute. Okay. You know, because that's good. Okay. Otherwise, we're getting an echo as it comes back into the speakers. Or comes from the speakers into your microphone. You seem to be really modeling for the students, which is really how they learn, of course, and they seem to be sort of absorbing it to an extent. I guess you'll know they're really absorbing it. They start posting their reflections on the OneDrive. But that's, I suppose you must be observing changes in their use of technology in teaching is ingrained in them, because as you said, you started out with paper, and then as you're moving into the technologies, making use of technologies, they would probably, having been taught that way, emulate some of that in their own teaching. And another question comes up, and that is if they move from the OneNote environment or the Microsoft environment, would that do you think they'll be able to take the things they're learning and transfer them to another environment, say Google or something that they might have available in their schools? Don't forget to unmute.
Yes, I guess there won't be a problem, because so far, I think from my perspective, it has been a little bit more challenging than Google Apps and then Moodle, for example, maybe because the way we've been working all of these years, maybe I got used to it, or even I never used Google Apps for the class. I moved in that environment. Coming to Office 365 has a little bit of tricky things suddenly, because maybe because of this schemata it shows to you. Or maybe also because of all these policies in the intranet, the university, which are being developed, are in the moment of development. So I think they can make the transfer, majorly because they have experience with other platforms, and especially they've been with Benjamin in other subjects. So Benjamin has been using different platforms, different blogs. He uses Schoology and other things that they are just making the transfer. In fact, one of the comments right now is that it's kind of slow, but that aspect I suppose, is because of the internet and the permissions, and the university is very reserved in matters of restriction. I think Benjamin talked about this last session we had together, and that can be also part of the speed. But aside that, I don't think they have had any problems. Just regular things like mixing files and how do I know this is shared with me and how do I know this I'm sharing this one. But at the end are very simple things which haven't become important obstacles or issues like to consider very deeply about Office 365. So yes, I think they have to they can transfer this to another area. I would like, I think, I just realized I took a lot of time in this and I haven't let Benjamin speak. So I don't know if you want me to stop here and let Benjamin talk for a while, because I don't know how much time we have for this.
We're coming to the top of the hour, but we don't have bills to pay. We're not renting this auditorium, so we have 10 more minutes, I'd say. Comfortable for me. We need to be considerate of our participants and listeners, of course. But anyway, welcome to hear from Ben.
I would like just very quickly to close, to leave the floor to Ben, just to mention, I'm not going to explore anymore, but I'm just going to mention what I'm using. I'm also using the videos, and I'm organizing them in a kind of post that 365 uses. And the videos are there in order, and I'm just using them for announcements, that general announcement that the students have to consider, like this, in this week we are starting, this is the deadline for this, or you should be bringing this also to the sessions, or whatever it's important, right? And aside that, I've been working on a little bit of my blog in Delft, trying to make it an academic blog, and it has taken me not just to focus on this class, but in general, as my academic blog, to I'm coordinating certain areas which we have to use Moodle for, but I'm also part of the tutorship program at the university, so I will be including all of this in my blog. But pretty much that's what I'm using, and that's the way I'm using it. I want to give the floor to Ben, and I'm really sorry, Ben, I took almost the whole hour, but go ahead.
No problem, Pity. And Vance, I'll try to be brief. You just cut me off if we need to end it. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Go ahead, Vance.
Oh, okay. Well, the how would you say the upswell from the text chat from the chat wing is to carry on, and they're enjoying it, and it's informative, and so keep going. That's what they're telling us.
Great. Okay. I wanted to explain briefly here, as Petey was mentioning, he's part of the practicum line in our curriculum, in our BA program. I, in contrast, am working this semester. I have an academic writing course, and this is one course that makes up the skills strand or the skills line of our curriculum. So I'm focusing more on skill development, specifically in writing, but the strand also applies to listening and speaking and reading, writing, of course, grammar. So Petey and I are both, we have the same group, but he's teaching a practicum course, I'm teaching an academic writing course. So as he was mentioning before, we're both using Office 365, but slightly different ways, but for the same group. So I have here, I have a screen share, and here I'm using OneNote, and I'll try to explain briefly some of the tools that I'm using this semester. Hopefully you can see this pop-up screen. Primarily we are using Mail, Calendar, and Word Online, and OneNote. Those are primarily the tools that we're using currently this semester in my academic writing course as a way to kind of find ways to interact and have students interact with each other and with me. So OneNote, I basically include all of my planning by week and each week has its page, as Petey was explaining. And so this is a very easy way for me to share what I'm planning on each week. And I say easy because since this is Microsoft and it's Office 365, they also make available different apps that you can install on your Android device or your iPad, obviously on your computer. So for me, I can, if I have my iPad, I can, wherever I am basically, can add information based on my planning and things that we're doing in class. So OneNote really allows me to both plan and also in class interact and add notes as we discuss different things. So if we are, for example, having issues, or if the students are having issues on a particular concept, I can make notes into OneNote and elaborate on them later if need be. But all of this information is openly shared with the students. And I also have this particular OneNote public. So when I finish here, I'll share the link. If anyone's interested, you'll be able to see or have access to this OneNote as well. So it's very important for me to not only share this openly with my students, but also have the same document openly available to the public, so that you know, if teachers or students can benefit from that, or have questions, or even question what I'm doing, this allows that to happen. So in OneNote, one of the things that I think is very important, and it's kind of to Peggy's question, her first question about if students' documents can be shared. And here's an example of how I have all of my students with their respective links that take them to their documents, their Word Online documents, where they work all semester. So each of these documents that you see here are not only shared between students and with me, but basically anyone who wants to look at it. For me, it's very important for students to be able to see not only their own work and have that work shared with me, but that they can see the work of their peers. And not only see the work of their peers, but also can see comments that I make to each student. So I'm trying to make the learning process very transparent, but also the way that I evaluate students very transparent. So I feel there's a benefit for them to see how I give feedback to their classmates as well as to each of the students. So here, I was trying to show the comments, so maybe I don't think you can see. Let's see if I can. So if you're familiar with Word, you can leave comments, you can select text, leave comments, and build a thread with each comment. So students can actually respond to each comment if they have a question or if they need further clarification. They can leave a comment there. Then they can email me in Office 365 to ask me to check their document again. So we kind of go through this cycle of them adding text, I give them feedback, they follow up, make changes, or they ask further questions. When they make the changes in the document, they remove their comments, and we kind of work kind of in this cycle throughout the semester as they revise their work, as they work towards a final draft. So this is kind of how we work, and I've done this also with Google Docs. And last semester, I had the opportunity to actually compare working one semester with the same group, working with Microsoft Word Online versus working with Google Docs. And they preferred working with Word Online, I think primarily just because of the familiarity with the toolbar, being able to actually open up the same document in Word. So, for example, they can choose to work and online, or they can also open the same document on their computer or their device and be able to make changes there. I'm gonna see if this works here. And as I open up this document, you'll see it's the same document that was online. The students can make changes to their Word Online document and save it. And those changes, if they're connected to the internet, will then be synced to their Word Online version. So there's a couple advantages of this, because Word Online, there are a few restrictions in how they can edit the document. Probably 90% of their changes, their edits, can be made online, but there are certain formatting changes, for example, the ruler, indentations, and even spacing is a little bit easier to configure by opening up the Word document onto their computer and handling it that way. So the students are encouraged to really choose which way they'd like to work, but they understand that there are certain limitations, and they'll need to, you know, change accordingly depending on what they want to do. So hopefully you can see this. This is the Word document version now. This is on my computer, opened up in Word. I can make changes, or the student can make changes, and when he or she finishes, close the document. It's not going to prompt me now because I didn't make any changes, but it'll prompt you to say, do you want to save? You click save, and that'll be uploaded here. So Microsoft Word is pretty handy in this regard as far as making changes and editing and sharing comments between between, in this case, the students and myself. So that's Word Online. Okay, I'll go ahead and continue on. So again, OneNote is very useful for me to really share ideas with my students. Another aspect of Office 365 are groups. And as Pity was explaining, and this actually was confusing at first, but groups and the email system are very much, in fact, it's pretty much the same. Groups is kind of an extension of emails. But when students begin the course, they are encouraged to join this group, and they have access to all these different groups here in the university. Now, because this is an intranet, basically all these groups that appear here are groups that have been set up by other professors here at the university. But, for example, our class, we have academic writing. They click on this, and they're given the option to join the group. And once they join the group, their group will appear at the bottom left-hand side of the screen as mine appear here. So if I click on academic writing, then you will be presented, or the students will be presented with a group layout. And so from here, we can post, they call them conversations. So if I post a conversation, this will create a thread that students can reply to. So this is just a typical forum type of setup. But, you know, they have options to like if they wish. They can reply to the entire group, or they can just reply to me. If it's a private issue, they can reply privately. So there's a lot of options here that are available in groups. Another feature that I really like is a calendar feature, as Pity was explaining, but this is linked to the group. So as you create a group, there's a calendar designated to that particular group, and so I can set up due dates or assignments in calendar for students to access, and they receive notifications. They at any time can see the calendar to see what is coming up and what they need to do. Another feature that's kind of nice in groups is files. So as Pity was explaining before, he was showing you his OneDrive, which included all the files that were specific to him as a professor here at the university. But these files that appear here are designated to the group. So all students that are members of this group have access to what you see here, these folders and files. So for example, I have a rubric that I made available for them so that they have access. Basically anything that I want to share with them, I can do that here. I also have, I typically take pictures of anything that I write on the board, because since these are face-to-face courses, a lot of the things that we talk about are not only shared on our screen that we have and the internet that we have available in each class, but also just using the board. In fact, this is not a good example. I did this in another class. I don't see, yeah, I guess I didn't upload the images here, but I do upload images in the conversations So when we discuss something in class and we write things on the board, I'll typically take a picture of the board and upload it to the group for them to have access to later. And I don't know if I can find a quick example of that, but probably not. But here, a lot of the interactions, the group, this conversation feature for me in groups is very useful because I'll post something very brief each day to kind of explain what we're doing. And sometimes I'll integrate videos as well in my description. If I need to describe certain steps that they need to follow, I'll complement YouTube videos and embed them within the group. So it just depends on what I feel that they need. Essentially, the reason why I'm setting up all of this is for them to have a place outside of the class to go to if they need further assistance, further clarification, even if they happen to miss a class. They can always check the groups. They can check OneNote, and it, I think, kind of orients them and helps them to kind of see what we're doing in class. But this is a blended class. This is not an online class in and of itself. It is blended. We see each other 5 hours a week. And so, but I found that this, the way that I'm using technology in this case and in most cases, well, the objective is to try to be more accessible to the students. And obviously they can send me emails and reach out when they need assistance. But also it allows the other students to help each other. So if a student has a question, they can also post their own conversation, and you know, students can reply to those as well. And I'm going kind of quickly here. I don't know if there are any questions at this point before I continue on.
Actually, I would like to ask a question. I'm not going to be able to stay much longer because I got, at the same time that I left university, I got a new computer, and I had to set the whole thing up by myself. And I discovered that that Microsoft is now only offering this Word 356, and they will only have a yearly subscription. Now, do your students, I mean, obviously they can use the machines at the university, but do they need to have this yearly subscription to the Office 365? To have it on their machine?
Yes, Elizabeth, thank you for the question. That's a very good question and something I didn't really bring out from the very beginning. A teacher and a student of the university, all of us have access to a subscription to 365. So students already have an account set up. It's just a matter of signing in, and teachers do as well. Everything that we're showing you here today also includes an option for students to download the application to their own computer. So basically, they're given subscriptions as students here at the university. Here in this section, students can download any of these applications for their own use. So yes, this is a resource that was made available to us. And you do have to have a subscription to participate the way that we're presenting here. This is an Office Online for business. Sometimes they refer to it for business, even though this is for an institution. So it's a little bit different than a personal account. If you had your own personal subscription, you would still have available a lot of these tools that appear here, but it wouldn't be exactly what you see here, because this is very much adapted to, it's adapted to the institution, but it's a separate area of Office for Microsoft.
Yeah, specifically, without a business subscription, the students can't actually access it unless they too have an individual subscription, I think is the...
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the... So students for us, they need to have there, which they already have automatically just by by registering for courses here at the university, they have access to what you see here, and they need to have access to this. They can't open up their own personal Office account and have access to everything that we're seeing here. There are exceptions. For example, OneNote is I'm making OneNote available to everyone, and I think the Word online documents can be shared with anyone. But most of the inbox and the group feature, students must sign in to their student account that is part of Office account. So yes, did I answer your question?
Thank you very much. Yes, that is clear. Okay.
Sorry. Thank you for the question. Any other questions before I go on?
Peggy has asked lots of questions. One thing we were kind of dialoguing on, we didn't quite understand when the students. You said that they'll get your comments on their documents, and it's easier to load them into Word. And then, does Office 365 synchronize that with with what you see, or do they have to then upload that Word document to back to the system?
All right. So there are basically two ways. Let me go back to the OneNote here. And there are essentially two ways that students can edit their document. And when I say when students edit their document, it's instantaneous. So when students go into Word online, and let me go back to the example here. It's a little bit easier to kind of show you as we go along here. So, all right, so I'm going to open up a document, and this is what I refer to as a Word online document. So from here, students can choose to edit their document online. Mm-hmm. So wait till this pops up. Okay, so they have to click Edit Document, and they have two options. Hopefully you can see this pop-up screen.
Oh, okay.
And so they can either choose to edit in Word or edit online. So let's say that mm-hmm. I want to edit online. The student, and it's instantaneous, it's very much like Google Docs in this respect. When the students click any change whatsoever, it's instantaneously saved in Word Online. In fact, there's not even a save option in Word Online. Now, this obviously is dependent on your internet connection. So if there's a problem with the internet, then you know the changes won't be saved. But if the student is editing in their Word Online document, all changes are instantaneous, and therefore any moment that I want to open up this same document, because all these documents are also shared with me, I can see their changes in real time, very much again like Google Docs. So it's very much similar to how you can see how many people are editing a document at any one time, and the changes are instantaneous. Now, in contrast, it's slightly different with Word. If you edit the document in Word, and this is another option. So again, if I click on Open in Word, now this is a different way students can edit their document. Now the document is actually being downloaded to their computer and opened up in Word, which is an application that's already installed on their computer. Now this same document will open up, and students can choose to make changes in Word that's installed on their computer. Now the changes that they make to the Word document are not instantaneous. They make the changes, and when they are complete or at any point, they can save the document, and those saves, the changes are saved or synced to the Word online document, which I, the teacher, will then be able to see. I won't be able to see their changes until they sync it. So as an example, I could just change something here. Okay, and I close it, and it's going to prompt me, do you want to save your changes? And I want to say yes. So when I click save, it should prompt me again to say that it's uploading these changes to the Word online document. And again, if I'm connected, it was pretty brief there, then the changes will be made. Obviously, I didn't technically make changes, but that's how it works. There are really two ways that students can go about changing their document, and again, changing or making edits to the Word online document, there are a few limitations. You can do a lot of things, but there are a few things that you can't do. So really the students need to be able to edit the document in two different ways so that whatever changes they need to make, they can make those changes. Does that answer your question, Peggy?
That was very clear. In fact, she's written a great job explaining this, Benjamin. A couple of other things. She's pointed out, as I did, that this is a really great model of how teachers can interact with their students. That's a really hard one for teaching as an art, you know, the art of really being with your students, you know, even whether you're in the same room or in an online environment. And she asked another thing, which I was actually going to ask myself, but it's what happens to their work. I mean, clearly they're working in PowerPoint, Word, you know, they obviously have access to their content. They've got it in, you know, their documents they have. Their portfolio, you mentioned that this kind of puts that together for them. What happens to that when it's something they can just download to keep themselves, or would it be available to them after they leave the university? Do they have to keep up their subscription? How does that work for them?
Okay, good. That's another very good question. And these are things, and this what we're explaining here, I'm certainly not advocating that Office 365 is a perfect system. There's some things that I feel comfortable with, other things that I don't. But the idea of student portfolios is really, really important, and I think this is an area that I think I know personally I could do a lot more with, and I think even as a department there's some things that we can talk about and find ways to do this. But for Office 365, so let's say that students complete the semester, they have completed their Word document, which would, in my case, our case, would contain all of the work that they had accumulated all semester. This file that they have an option of saving it to their own OneDrive. So as Peter explaining, each of us have our own OneDrive, and this is what mine looks like. It may look a little bit different just because I have a different backdrop, but it's the same idea. We have folders and files, and all of the documents that the students have appear in my academic writing course. In fact, I actually set up these files and shared it with them. And so if they want to access their own file in OneDrive, they can click Shared with Me. So again, I created the document, I shared it with them. So because they are looking at a shared document, they need to click Shared with Me. And in that option or folder, they will see their document. So from there, they can easily save that document to their own personal OneDrive, which they will have access here at the university. Or they can download it to their own computer and do whatever they wish with it. They can publish it in any online space or you know, take it to the next level to maybe create their own portfolio, and however that might look like. We haven't really gone there yet, but I certainly, that's something that's very important, I know, for all of our students, is to create their own personal portfolio and make sure that they, you know, are publishing work that they're proud of, that they work very hard on completing, and, you know, creating an online space where they can share that. But to date, we haven't really gone there yet. I think that's an area that we can that we need to discuss and you know, be more active in. But certainly there are options that students can take with the products that they complete in all of their courses through the use of Office 365, where they can move it to a place where they can publish it later on. And you know, just within Office 365, everyone has, students and teachers alike, have a profile, right? So in the profile, they also have access to their activity, and in their in their activities, where they can, or anyone really within, again, this intranet that has an account with us, can see this information. So this is not really exactly to Peggy's point as far as making a public portfolio available. But certainly within the institution, between students, between teachers, all of this information is shared. And this is something that Pete and I are working with, and we're talking with the administrators of Office 365 within our institution to see what options are available if we want to make either our profile public, and or do we make the students' activity, you know, public. Those are things that we're working on, and you know, this question about how much of it is public versus private is an ongoing discussion, but an important one that we are following up on, just to see what's the best mix, you know, depending on, based on the individual teacher and the individual group.
Yeah, and mainly they need to be able to get their content down. So if they can do that, that's at least something they can
right.
Let's see. Well, I think people are enjoying this. This is a really nice, you know, we've asked a couple of times for a presentation on Office 365. Because it's and you've done it's really been informative for all concerned to watch you walk us through this and see how it works. There is one other thing that I want to be sure that you get the message for, and that is we'd like to get any links you can share. If you could put them in, I think one thing, Piri's blog, Piri mentioned the blog, and you could post the links here in the Hangout chat, and I can transfer them over to the chat wing. People can see them. And I think there was something you mentioned earlier also, Benjamin, you were showing us something that you had made public. You said it was public, and if you could have that, we could have that link. We'd appreciate that. And Peggy's got a last question.
I just shared, Vance,
okay.
I just shared the link to the academic writing course, and I also will share the link to a composition course, which is basically the same idea, but it's a different course. So if anyone wants to take a look at that, and again, if anybody has any questions about it later on, feel free to let me know.
Yeah, Peggy wanted to. Oh, she's asked if the students, a minute ago, she asked if the students would have to personally pay for Office 365 after they leave the university to be able to continue to access these documents. I guess I could add to that question, would they have that option to do that? Maybe.
That's a good question, and Petey maybe might know more about this than I do. As far as I know, honestly, I'm not sure what happens after the students leave the university. We've been working with Office 365 for about 4 months, basically, and we're in close contact with those involved, but that question hasn't come up. Petey, do you know anything about that?
I think the main issue here is that we are working along with the administrators at the university. So what we know so far is that the intranet works with a lot of issues from the university. And that's why they're really thinking about every move they make on availability or in progress, I mean, a follow-up to students when they finish. We have a graduate program follow-up, so sooner or later you may come to that to talk to the follow-up of graduates, but right now we don't really know what can be public or not. Benjamin has a pretty clear idea of what is public and available right now, but we don't really know what can be public or not. We suppose, and this is just a guess, that everything can be public, or at least 99% of the aspects can be public, but we do know also that right now is restricted. I talked to the administrators, and the answer is that they have to think about it and go through it, what we want to do, and so far what they answer is that they have to have a public layout for the department, and in the public layout, we're going to have our own blogs and accounts, and we are going to decide whether to make it public or not. But aside that, inside our files or our blogs or whatever we want to share, I suppose there's going to be some restrictions too. So when they finish, the immediate when the students finish their major, what they can immediately do is just download everything into their OneDrive or private OneDrive or any space they have. Right now, my idea is to store everything. We have 1 T for storage from the university, so I'm going to try to store everything for as long as I can in there. So whenever anybody asks me about it, evidences or students themselves, I can have access to that. Once I just overload my T, I will start to download to a hard drive or something like that. So students will know that they are available to come back. In fact, I do have my Explorer files right now from previous semesters. I have like 4 semesters back right now. And once in a while, students come and ask, I send the lesson plan and activity, a PowerPoint presentation. Can you look for it and send it to me? And that's what I do.
And one thing I'd like to mention that we really didn't talk about here, too, is... Sorry, Pete, would you mute your mic, please?
I'm sorry.
Thank you. One thing, just briefly, that we didn't really talk about is the blog feature, or they refer to it as sites. And that's another thing that we're really talking about, to see if we can make that site feature or that blog feature in Office 365 made available to the public. Because if that is possible, then I see a lot of opportunities for students to create their own blogs, or even call that a portfolio and make that available to the public. And now, then when they leave the university, figure out, okay, now once the students have that portfolio, what options do they have afterwards so they don't lose it, obviously? So will that be made available, or, you know, what are the options for those graduates? So, there's a lot of things that we're still kind of learning, and obviously, as Biddy mentioned, the university's kind of figuring out how they want to deal with all of this. And so I think as we get more into it, we'll be able to share more and hopefully provide better options or more options in how students can create their own portfolios and how everything can even be more transparent. You know, for me personally, being more transparent is the way to go. But obviously we work in institutions, so the idea is to kind of work together and figure out, okay, what, you know, how can we, you know, what can we do and what can't we do, and try to make the best decisions for the betterment of the student, basically. That's what it's all about.
Peggy has left a final comment. She's a retired principal, by the way, so you can be impressed with her comment. She says, so impressed with the very thoughtful way your university is approaching the adoption of these tools. And so I think you've made a good impression and conveyed very nicely what you're doing with the tools.
Well, we appreciate Peggy's comments, and we'll be certain to pass along that to those who are involved at the university. Thank you very much, Peggy, and everyone, for your great questions. I know personally sharing these types of things with others is always a learning experience, and thank you, Vance, for giving us a little bit of time here, a lot of time, to discuss it.
My pleasure. I always learn from these things, and that's why we do it. The chat wing, chatwing.com/Vance, VanceSTEV, is there forever so far, you know, forever as far as internet time is concerned. So it's been it's robust. I think everything we've ever put there is still in the chat, so you can go there and see the comments. And there's one more question. I don't know, Piri, if your blog that you mentioned earlier is public or if it has a link. If so, you could put it here in the Hangout chat. And I would pass it then to the chat wing.
I don't think it's public right now because of the policies, but right now that's the moment we are at with the administrators, and I think it's going to be available soon.
Okay. So Maha and Maria are still here, as well as Peggy. And I guess those are the 3 viewers, so they've been in the stream here the whole time. So the fact that they stayed here is, people do vote with their feet. Okay, well, thanks very much. This has been Learning Together, the 6th of September, 2015. And we've been talking with Benjamin Stewart and Piri Herrera, both in Aguascalientes, at the university there. And they're both EFL teachers, and they're using Office 365, and that's what we've been talking about. So we hope you've enjoyed this, and thank you very much, our presenters, for coming and helping us understand something else about our world, educational world, and our tools we can use. So good night, and this will be recorded. It's going to YouTube as soon as we click all the close buttons, and man, you guys know how to access it. I'll blog it. It gets blogged at learningtogether.net at the URL that you see on my, what's that called, the lower third. So anyhow, and I'll post it there. That'll be there in a couple of days. Okay, well, thanks very much. Good night, and I'm sure we'll meet again.